Hi, this is Jeff Tate, and you're listening to Metal from the Inside.
You've tuned in to the most crazy rocking metal podcast on the air. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Metal from the Inside.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Metal from the Inside podcast. I'm your host, Sydney Taylor. Thank you guys so much for tuning into another episode and joining me for another week. You guys are listening to episode 35 of the Metal from the Inside podcast. And first off, I want to apologize if you hear any motorcycle noises in the background during this introduction. It is a beautiful day outside and I live right next to a highway and there is a lot of noise. So if that does come through at all, I greatly apologize. But anyways, I have a very exciting announcement on this week's episode. Metal from the Inside now has merchandise, and this is so exciting. I got approached by the amazing metal label Season of Mist, and they are based right here where I live in Philadelphia. They have some other European offices as well, but their main home base is here in Philly. And I was approached about putting together some merchandise, and I, of course, said yes. So I'm very excited to announce that Metal from the Inside merchandise is now a thing. If you go to www.season-of-mist.com, you can go ahead and click on the US shop or the international shop, of course, based on where you are at. You go to the print on demand section under merchandising, and or you could just go ahead and type in Metal from the Inside in the search bar and our merchandise will pop up. Right now we have this really cool design with our logo and flames, and it looks so awesome. They did such a great job over there at Season of Mist, you know, putting together the design and, you know, making it look really, really well put together and just incredible. So the cool thing about the merch is that it is available on many, many different styles. You could get it on a t-shirt, a men's t-shirt. You can get it on a camo print, a men's hoodie. For my ladies out there, you can get it on a cropped hoodie. You can get it on a zip up. You can get a women's fit. And they also have this really cool option for my ladies as well, where it has a cut back. So there's a lot of different options, tons of different styles that you can choose from, sizes galore in every single style, and every single piece of merch is made to order. So it's made specifically for you according to your size and specified style. So it's a really, really cool program and I'm really excited to be a part of it. And I will hopefully be adding some more designs for you guys in the near future. So if you want to get a jump start on getting some Metal from the Inside merch, we do have the very first design available. And if you would like to get any more down the road, we will be debuting some more designs in the very near future, including some different artwork, some printing on the back of the shirts, hopefully in the future, and eventually on the sleeves, to give you guys some variety. So very, very excited about that. Again, you can go to www.season-of-mist.com, click on the US shop or the international shop, wherever you are located, and go ahead and type in Metal from the Inside and it should pop right up. And it was really exciting because I debuted the merch on Friday and I, you know, released last week's podcast episode and I was talking about how I would talk about it in this week's episode. And it was just funny because it happened so much faster than I thought it was going to. But the reception's just been so great so far. It was under the best seller section on Season of Mist's website. So I really appreciate everybody who has purchased a shirt so far. It's incredible to see this logo on a shirt and to see my name on a t-shirt. It's just surreal to me. And I got my own hoodie the other day, so I actually have it physically in my hands and it's just so freaking cool. So I really do appreciate everybody that has picked up a shirt so far, and a big thank you to anybody who might purchase a shirt in the future. So thank you, thank you, thank you. This would not be possible without all of you listening and sharing and subscribing and just supporting the podcast in general. So thank you. Before we get into who I will be speaking with on this week's episode, I wanted to ask your opinion on something that I am working on for Metal from the Inside. I might have mentioned it here on the podcast in the past, but I've really been throwing around the idea of putting together a Patreon. I've already kind of made the account and I'm starting to figure things out, put stuff together. And for those of you who might not be 100% familiar with what Patreon is, it's basically basically a really cool website and platform that creators can go ahead and create an account for their podcast, for their artwork, whatever they are creating. And it's basically a way to offer exclusive content and have people subscribe monthly to receive exclusive content or whatever they choose to be in their tiers. So you basically can put together as many tiers as you would like. Let's say you have a dollar tier. You know, if you subscribe for $1 a month, you will get X, Y, Z. You'll get exclusive videos or, you know, 20% off merch or whatever if you subscribe per month. So I'm sure that there's a better description and explanation as to what Patreon is other than the terrible job I'm doing right now, but it will all make sense. Go ahead and look up Patreon if you are not familiar. But I've been toying around with ideas of things that I want to offer in different tiers of my Patreon. So I've thrown around maybe doing unedited interviews, kind of throwing in behind the scenes of what an interview looks like, you know, editing, putting it together from start to finish. Once again, kind of offering exclusive tidbits of certain interviews, whether it is the unedited interview or a piece of an interview that I took out and I might want to share specifically with my Patreon subscribers, possibly a bonus episode every once in a while of the podcast. Also throwing around the idea of possible merch discounts, of course, on the merchandise that I just spoke about earlier, and even letting you guys into the process and, you know, having your questions be in the mix of my interviews, you know, being able to offer some questions for future guests and have your questions be asked in a Metal from the Inside podcast episode. So those are just some ideas, but I would like to know what you would like to be seen, you know, offered in my Patreon. Of course, the monthly subscriptions won't be too much, whatever I do include, but I always like to get your feedback on what I'm doing and creating so that I am offering the best possible content for you guys and I'm offering stuff that you guys will actually want to see and listen to and enjoy. So let me know what you might want to see offered in my Patreon. Go ahead and tweet me. I'm on Twitter at @STaylorOfficial. I know a lot of you do follow me over there. I'm also on Instagram at @SydneyAnnaTaylor. So if you would prefer to message me or leave a comment, be sure to do so. I really, really want your opinions and hopefully my Patreon will be coming very, very soon. So stay tuned for that in the near future. Without further ado, we're going to get right into a brand new interview that I have for you guys on this week's episode of the Metal from the Inside podcast. This week, I had the opportunity to sit down and speak with one of my favorite hard rock vocalists, Mr. Jeff Tate, formerly of Queensryche and of course now with the project Sweet Oblivion. In our conversation, Jeff and I talk a little bit about the brand new Sweet Oblivion record entitled Relentless, which is set for release on April 9th through Frontiers Records. We talk a little bit about the process of writing and recording this record, what it was like for Jeff, where he was when he recorded the record, and so much more. We also talk about Jeff's relationship with the Frontiers label, as Jeff has done a lot of work with them over the last couple of years, not only with the debut Sweet Oblivion record and now the sophomore record, but Jeff also did a string of solo records a couple years back, so he's been a part of the Frontiers team for quite a while now. So we discuss what it's like for Jeff to work with the Frontiers team and be a part of that label. We also talk about the similarities that are often seen between the Sweet Oblivion style and sound and that of the classic Queensryche records. A lot of people have even mentioned with the debut record that was released back in 2019 that it is very reminiscent of the classic Queensryche sound that Jeff was a part of for so many years in the 80s and 90s and even early 2000s. So we talk a little bit about that comparison that is often made. We also talk a little bit about the 2012 Queensryche split and if Jeff ever felt any resentment towards playing some of those classic Queensryche songs that he still often plays in his solo sets to this day. As a lot of us know, that 2012 split involved a lot of tension and lawsuits and everything like that upon Jeff's departure from Queensryche. So we discuss a little bit about Jeff's feelings and how he feels now that he is working on some new projects and that, you know, some years have passed. So we also talk about some other projects that Jeff has been a part of over the last couple of years, including his work with the metal opera group Avantasia. He was featured on their 2017 record and their 2019 record as well. And it's a very different different kind of style. It's still in the metal world, but a different style than Jeff is normally a part of. So we talk a little bit about how that helps Jeff creatively and what it was like not only being a part of that group, but also getting to tour with them as he did a world tour shortly before the world shut down with the group. And aside from just chatting about everything that he's been up to music-wise, we also talk a little bit about Jeff's own wine brand, which is called Insania Wines. He makes both red and white wines. And I'm not sure how many of you know that Jeff Tate is in fact a winemaker and has been making wine for many, many years, and of course has this brand Insania. So we get a little bit into what it's like to make the wine, his experience being a part of that world, which is completely separate from the music industry, and everything about that project for Jeff. So we talk about a lot of different things and cover quite a bit in this interview, and I think that you guys are really going to enjoy it. It was great to be able to sit down and speak with Jeff again. Jeff was actually my first big interview about 4 or 5 years ago, and it was super special for me because I love Queensryche, and Operation Mindcrime is just one of my favorite records of all time, and was one of those records that I listened and still listen to on repeat, you know, especially when I was getting into this type of music, and I absolutely love Queensryche. And so getting to speak with Jeff as my first big interview a couple years ago when I was just starting out was super special, and it was a blast to be able to transition, because when I did that interview the first time, I was working for another publication, which is great and everything, but it was really special to have him on my brand and my podcast and have him be a part of Metal from the Inside and a part of the podcast. So it was very special. It was a great conversation. And again, if you are a Queensryche fan and have not heard the first Sweet Oblivion record, I definitely recommend that you go check it out and go ahead and purchase a copy of the brand new Sweet Oblivion record entitled Relentless, which again is set for release on April 9th through Frontiers Records. So stay tuned for that. When we get back from this very short break, we're going to get into my interview with hard rock and heavy metal vocalist, Mr. Jeff Tate. Welcome back, everybody, to the Metal from the Inside podcast, and I'm here this week with a very special guest, one of my very favorite hard rock and heavy metal vocalists who needs no introduction, Mr. Jeff Tate, of course, formerly of Queensryche, now with Sweet Oblivion, his own solo project over the years, and so much more. He's done so much over the course of his career, so thank you so much for taking the time to join me on this week's episode, Jeff.
My pleasure.
Yeah, so it's funny because, and I'm sure you probably heard this from many people as this year has kind of progressed, but you were the last show that I went to before the world shut down back at the end of February in Philly. You were like right there in February before, you know, the world changed forever. But just how have you been? I always like to start out my interviews just asking, you know, kind of how everybody has been just kind of during the last year. I know, of course, you had to kind of come off that tour about a year ago already. And I know you've stayed busy though. We're going to get into the new record that you have coming out in about a month. But, you know, just how has the last year been for you and kind of staying sane and, you know, having a lot of time at home.
Our tour ended right around February, March last year, and we were touring in the United States at the time and watching the cities shut down behind us as we left town. Everything started, you know, kind of a domino effect, really. So all of our touring really got postponed to this year now. And so on the bright side, even though it's been a long time at home, the touring is beginning again for me, at least in August. And right now I'm booked up to Christmas of 2023. So I'm going to be very busy, which is good. I like that. I like to work. But in the meantime, I completed the Sweet Oblivion album when I was in Ireland over the summer. And I've got a couple other projects in the works right now and just writing in the studio every day, which is great for me. I love being home anyway. In fact, this is the first time I've been home for any length of time in, oh, I don't know how many years, like 2019, I think I was home 24 days.
Wow.
So, yeah, so this is really long for me. And I've gotten to where I really love waking up in my own bed, you know? It's great.
Yeah, which, I mean, I can imagine. I mean, you've been, again, touring since the early 80s, even before then, you know what I mean? It's like to have a year at home, or, I mean, you know, you've done, like you said, you've done a couple things. And I mean, I know you've done a couple shows here and there, you know, kind of socially distant stuff here and there, this kind of past year and the end of last year and everything like that. But yeah, I guess to have a big period of time at home must be kind of a nice change for you.
It's a lovely change. In fact, it took me several months just to get into it and the swing of it. You know, I'm not used to being in one place for very long. And I've had a few moments where, you know, I wanted to get out of the house and, you know, kind of get away. But overall, I like being home. I find it very productive to be in one place. And I get in a lot of studio work done. I'll tell you that. Boy, nothing holding me back, you know. I got no excuses like, oh, it's, you know, I have a show to do in 3 hours. I don't have that excuse. So.
Right. It allows you to get stuff done. But you really mentioned you're doing this Sweet Oblivion record, which is coming out in about a month, and it's titled Relentless. And it's a great record. I've had the chance to listen to it in advance, and I absolutely love it. And this is a second record. The first one was released back in 2019. So tell me a little bit about just the process of working on this record, because if I'm correct, you guys did it all kind of virtually or kind of over like the internet file sharing, right?
Yeah, exactly. Which I think is a wonderful way to work. It's very efficient, and you can work in your home studio or in the, you know, the environment that you choose. And pretty much all the you know, the dialogue back and forth you do over email, Zoom, or the phone. So it's, you know, you're focused on the music more or less rather than just kind of spending hours, you know, wasting time telling stories, that kind of thing. You know, you're really focused on the production, you know, and that was very similar with this project. I was in Ireland at the time, and my wife and I were living in this little cottage up on the hill overlooking the ocean. And it was very, very creative there. You know, Ireland is a great place to be anyway. It's a magical kind of place. And just to wake up there every day and to work on this record in that kind of environment was really special. It'll always be very special to my heart, I think, that that time spent. But the record's been finished, I think, since September, I think it has been. That's when I finished all my parts and everything. So I'm anxious to hear it when it comes out. I haven't heard the whole thing done yet, so I'm excited.
Ooh, yeah. And the new video just came out today as well for the single Another Change. Did you film that when you were in Ireland too? Because I know that that's... No?
Okay. No, I filmed that in the Seattle area.
Gotcha. Yeah, it's a great single, and the video just came out on Frontier. So if you guys are watching, be sure to go ahead and check that out. But you've worked with Frontiers now. Again, this is a second record of Sweet Oblivion. You've done records with Frontiers on your own, kind of your own records. You did the kind of like that trilogy. The last one was released back in 2017. But, you know, you've done a bunch of stuff with Frontiers. And what is it like to work with them? Because, I mean, they're kind of a really great label. So many different, you know, new acts, kind of legacy acts on the label. So what is it like to work with that team at Frontiers?
Well, they're very passionate about music. And they're very passionate about what they do, you know, which I respect greatly. We clash a lot, but I like that. You know, I like that they just don't say do whatever. You know, they question everything that you do, and they have some really, well, they have ways of doing things that I would consider, you know, questionable. You know, but. Somehow we make it work, and it's a good alliance, you know, and the passion that they have for what they do is it's very respectable, and I like what they've done with the Sweet Oblivion records, the way they put the whole thing together and matched, you know, different artists working together. I think that's a really interesting way of working, and I'm looking forward to the next project they present me. I don't know who that's going to be with, but I'm anxious to see.
Yeah, because they were the ones that kind of came to you about like putting together Sweet Oblivion, right? It was them originally.
Yeah. Well, I had said to them after my run with them with the trilogy album, I said, you know, I'm very interested in working with different people. So if you come across anybody that you think might match up well with me, you know, please do it. And let's see if we can make something happen, you know? And so they've come to me with both the Sweet Oblivion projects, and they're different people on each record, you know? So it's great to be able to, collaborate with different people and different ideas. You know, I really welcome collaborating with different people and working with different people and hearing their perspective about music, you know?
Yeah. And I was going to say, I mean, you know, you obviously had the band dynamic for a bunch of years when you were in Queensryche. And I mean, you have your own band that you go out and tour with, of course, but is it different for you? You kind of just said it's nice to collaborate with other people, but is it different for you to kind of have just constantly working with different people instead of having it be the same kind of band dynamic that you had for so long? You know, you guys, of course, had chemistry when you were writing together in Queensryche and all those classic records. But, you know, did it bring you something new creatively when you kind of branded out and every day, every record?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, working with different musicians.
Yeah, it definitely brings out something different in you. And you have to kind of, you know, come at the situation with an open mind, you know, because, of course, they're not walking in your shoes and you're not walking in theirs. And you're coming at music from, you know, two different places oftentimes. But I like that, that clash of ideas. And then working them out and coming to some sort of understanding together, I think it's a bit like diplomacy, you know, in a way. And I enjoy it. I really do.
Yeah. And like I said, the Sweet Oblivion record is coming out. And, you know, from the first record and from this record, even just kind of the reception on the single and the video came out today. I know that you get a lot when it comes to this project, that it's very similar. The overall sound and the overall style is very similar to that of, like, you know, classic Queensryche record, and kind of the style that you, you know, were a part of for so many years when you were kind of getting into this industry. You know, does that ever, I guess, bother you, the constant kind of comparison to what you did prior? Or is it something that you find that you embrace? Because I know that's always, you know, something that goes around in fans' mind, you know, Queensryche, how does it hold up against the Queensryche records and everything? But how does that feel for you to hear that about, you know, the projects that you're doing now?
Well, I suppose it would probably bother me if I really paid attention. I don't. So
that's fair.
Yeah. Music is something that I need to do, you know. It's something that I need to be part of. And so I feel just very blessed that I'm given these opportunities to work with different musicians and to be part of creating an interesting musical presentation. And I'm equally grateful for anybody's interest in it, you know, because there's a lot to choose from. There's a lot to listen to. And years go by, you know, and people change their tastes in music and they grow up or they look for new things. And I'm just very happy that people are interested in what I'm doing.
Right, right. And I mean, you've also never really kind of shied away from, you know, performing the Queensryche songs and, you know, kind of having that part of your legacy stay alive with you. I mean, you're doing this whole tour that, again, was the last show that I ever saw. It was you doing Rage for Order and Empire, and then you're continuing that, right? You just released a new date. So I know you've never really shied away from, you know, doing those Queensryche classics and, you know, kind of keeping that alive with you. And I mean, I know that, I mean, obviously when that split did happen originally, that there was, you know, a lot of tension, a lot of things happening around that. But, you know, as the years have gone on, I know you were kind of quoted as saying that, like, Todd LaTorre is, you know, a fantastic vocalist and everything. And I feel like your tone has kind of changed on a lot of those subjects. I mean, for you, and did you ever, I guess, have a little bit of resentment to that period of your career and kind of maybe not want to perform those songs and have that kind of be something that did?
I've always embraced playing my music, you know, my songs. I can't imagine not playing those songs in a live, you know, situation. And I don't really have resentment or negative feelings about Queensryche. You know, to me, it was an amazing time. We did, we accomplished a lot of things. We wrote some incredible music and had some amazing tours. You know, I think we've definitely left our mark in the metal world, you know. But then again, you know, times change and people move on and do different things. And that's what I'm doing.
And you've also done some really great stuff I want to talk about with Avantasia over the last couple of years, which is this really great kind of unique metal band. You've done a lot of different stuff with them, with their record in 2017, the record in 2019. How did you get involved with that project? Because I know it's a bunch of different vocalists, you know, they kind of have a bunch of different collaborators, but you know, how did you first get started with Avantasia?
Tobias Sammet asked me. I had never heard of him or his project. Up until I think 2017 or something like that, when I did the album with them,
right?
I had never heard of him before, and apparently he had been talking to my management about involving me in the project before that, but I had never heard of it. And so finally, my manager played me some of the music, and I thought, "Oh, well, this is interesting. I like this. What is this? Who is this?" And then I got the whole story. Then I actually talked to Tobias about music, and we got along very well. And yeah, it's just started the ball rolling, really. We just spent quite a long time, quite a few years now, working together on his albums. And then I toured with him on their world tour last year, which was really fun, but very, very taxing. Probably one of the toughest tours I've ever done. And it was only exhausting and tough because the Germans, they drink to an excessive amount, you know, by my standards. I had a hard time keeping up with them. So I told Tobias that if I was going to tour with them again, I would need at least 6 months of training before I tried that again.
Gotta prepare.
Yeah, really, because man, the expectations are high, you know, to keep up with everybody. I didn't want to let my country down, being one of the few Americans on the tour. You know,
and is there anything in the works with Avantasia right now? Another record that you might be featured on, or are they kind of taking things slow, kind of in the midst of the pandemic?
I think that there's an album in the works right now. I've been hearing little snippets of rumor that way. I haven't been approached as of yet to contribute to it, but that's very typical for Tobias to be to call me up frantic, going, "Okay, can you sing on the record? I've written you a song." Yeah, okay. Well, send it to me and see what it's all about. You know, he's one of I'm so impressed by him. He handled himself so well on that world tour. It's very, very tough music to sing. It's high level of performance, and every night he just nailed it. And it's extreme gymnastics, you know, with your voice. And and he's not like a big powerful man at all. He's very slight and small, but he just has such a big spirit, you know. And I remember there's this one point in the show, in the first song that on the show, where all of us singers were gathered backstage and we're listening to be a sing, and he has to hit this incredibly high note. We call it the dog note because only dogs can hear it, right? It's so high, and that would be the telltale. And there was a little bit of a betting pool going on if he would make the note every night, and he always made it. He never missed it. He didn't hold back. He hit it right off the bat on the first song every night, and that was what we all had to live up to every night. It was his commitment to putting on the best possible show he could put on, you know. And all of us fell into line and tried to do the same thing and follow in his footsteps. He's very charismatic as a leader personality, you know. And it was good for me to be in that position with him. I think I learned a lot from him, even though he's younger than me. And, you know, I've had a heck of a lot of experience. I learned a lot from him.
Yeah, I mean, it must be nice to be in a situation like that where, I mean, like you just mentioned, it was motivating you guys to be like, oh, yeah, he's hitting that note, I got to step my game up or whatever, you know, the next performance. Yeah. So it must be nice to be in like that dynamic of, you know, pushing each other to be even better performers, you know, night after night.
It was a very different dynamic for me to be a part of because I've never looked at music as a sporting event. But apparently people do that and they look at it that way. And I definitely found myself as a member of the team, you know, performing, you know. It's so very different for me, but I enjoyed it. quite a bit.
Yeah, and I love those albums too, because they're not, you know, they're very in the realm of what you do, but in a way also, you know, kind of different. It's obviously more operatic and a little bit different than, you know, the normal hard rock. So I guess for you, that also must be interesting to kind of still stay in the realm of which you have worked for many, many years, but to also do something a little bit different, you know?
Yes, and I like doing things different, and I like being part of different scenarios. And I'm very honored to be part of that Avantasia family.
Yeah. Something that I thought was so interesting that a lot of people I feel like don't know about is you do have your own wine that, you know, you've been making wine for many, many years, and you have your own wine brand and everything like that, which is so amazing. Can you just tell us a little bit about that journey and what it's been like to like have your own wine? Because I feel like a lot of people don't really know that, you know, Jeff Tate is a winemaker, and he has been for so many years, you know, since you were very young, if I'm correct.
Well, my first official professional wine came out in 2007. That was my first, what I'll call my first vintage. I experimented a lot previously on my own, but 2007 is when I got really serious and released Insania is the wine brand. And we make a red and a white. And they are made in Germany, in the Alsace region, kind of Southern Germany, northeastern France, right on the border there. Beautiful, beautiful area. And it's a Pinot Noir, red grape, and Pinot Grigio is the white. And yeah, it's been a journey, it really has. It's a lot like making music. You know, you're taking notes and blending them together to form a melody or a chord. And the same with the grapes, you know, you're taking these different grapes and you're blending them together to form some sort of interesting tasting and smelling, you know, beverage. And I love it. I absolutely love it. I think if I retire at some point, I'd like to spend more time in the vineyard and actually work more with the farming aspect of it. Because that's, to me, that's where the wine is really made, is in the ground, you know, it's where the grapes are grown. And but this part of southern Germany is very special. It's this area that I was born in. My wife's family is from that area as well, so it's kind of a family thing, you know.
And I mean, you used to, when you would tour, you know, for many years, right? Wouldn't you go to different wineries and different vineyards when you were around touring? I mean, for you, that must be so cool. You know, you had the opportunity to try so many different wines from so many different countries and places and states, and that must also have helped in kind of creating your own blend and what you wanted out of that.
True. You taste a lot of different things, you know, traveling around, being in different parts of the world, different areas that specialize in grape growing and winemaking. But just about every area in the middle latitudes has a wine region. It's pretty interesting. Even New York State, you know, upper New York State has a wine region, you know, which you wouldn't think that anything good would come from that area in the ground, but because it's so cold, you know, but right. they do nice white wines up there. But yeah, it's a journey, like you said, and one that I love.
Yeah. And like I said, I wanted to ask you about that, because I feel like too many people don't know that that's something that you do on the side and outside of just music. So be sure to pick up a bottle of Jeff's awesome red and white wine. It's available, I'm pretty sure, on your website and everything like that. And I won't keep you too much longer, but at the end of every single one of my interviews, I ask kind of like the same five questions, or kind of just to have my guests get to know a little bit more about, or my audience get to know a little bit more about my guests. So the first question is, if you weren't working in the profession that you're currently in, so vocalist, songwriter, musician, what do you think that you would be doing?
Oh, I'd be making wine.
Right, yeah. Right.
Yeah.
You'd be making wine. Yeah, right.
Yeah,
and you are doing that. So
yeah.
Dream achieved.
You see, I'm kind of leaning in that direction, you know, more and more.
The second question is, what is something that you wish everybody knew about you? Whether that's like a secret talent that you have that a lot of people might not know about, or a guilty pleasure, musician that you listen to, anything like that.
Gosh, I don't know what that would be. Maybe some people would find this interesting, but I hardly ever listen to music.
Wow.
Yeah, just my own.
Do you think it helps you creatively to not hear what other people are doing sometimes?
No, it's strictly one reason and one reason only. I'm an unbearable snob. I like the silent, I like the quiet. I like to think my own thoughts, you know. I don't listen, watch TV. I don't listen to music. I write a lot, you know.
Yeah. The third question is, if you were stranded on a desert island and you only had three records to bring with you to listen to, what do you think they would be?
That's the last thing I would grab was a record. Yeah. Yeah. You know, I have music playing in my head all the time.
Right.
So I don't really need that. I would probably want something like, I like food. I like cooking, and I probably want to grab like a good quality cooking pan so I would be able to make things, you know, if I was stranded on a desert island.
I know, right?
But then again, I don't know what there is to eat on a desert island. I guess coconuts or something like that. Maybe, I don't know.
You might be able to like spear a fish or something, you know. You could,
yeah, do that. I'd probably want a very big sharp knife with me.
The fourth question is, what is one piece of advice that you would give to your younger self if you could?
Probably follow your heart, and follow your own muse and stick to your path without getting derailed by other people.
And the last question I have for you is, if you could have one superpower — it's more of a fun question — if you could have one superpower, what would it be?
The power of invisibility.
Yes. That is a good one.
I think that'd be very helpful in a lot of situations, you know.
Yeah. Well, this was so great. Thank you so much for taking the time out of your afternoon to come on the podcast. Again, everybody, the Sweet Oblivion record Relentless is out on April 9th through Frontiers Records. Thank you so much. It was such an honor to have you.
My pleasure, Sydney. Good talking to you. Good seeing you again. And thank you for the interview. I appreciate it.
You guys just finished listening to my interview with hard rock and heavy metal vocalist Jeff Tate. I hope you guys enjoyed listening to this week's interview as much as I enjoyed being a part of it. Like I mentioned earlier, it was such a blast to be able to speak with Jeff again and have him come on the podcast. I know that this episode was a little bit on the shorter side than some of the past episodes I've done in the last couple of months, but due to Jeff's time limits, it is what it is, but I really enjoyed our conversation and I hope you guys got something out of it. Be sure to go ahead and check out the Sweet Oblivion record when it is released on April 9th. Once again, the record is entitled Relentless and will be released through Frontiers Records, so be sure to pre-order your copy and get it when it comes out. It's really, really great, and I definitely recommend it for all fans of classic Queensryche and, of course, hard rock and heavy metal. Like I mentioned in the beginning of the episode, Metal From The Inside now has merchandise. You can once again go to www.season-of-mist.com. Go ahead and click on the US shop or international shop, of course, based on your location. You can go ahead and type Metal From The Inside in the search bar, and the merchandise will come right up. Or you can go ahead and go to the merchandising tab, click on the print on demand section, and you should be able to find Metal From The Inside right in there. And again, the merch is available on many different styles, including t-shirts, hoodies, women's fits, cropped hoodies, zip ups, everything in between, including racerback tank tops as well, men's muscle tanks, pretty much everything that you can think of, the merch is available. So you can go ahead and pick your size, pick your style, and the merch is made to order for you. So if you would like some Metal From The Inside merchandise, go ahead to, again, www.season-of-mist.com, and you can go ahead and purchase some of your own Metal From The Inside merchandise. If you are not interested in getting merchandise and would still like to donate to the podcast, you can go to www.anchor.fm/metalfromtheinside. Here you can click on the support button and donate either $1, $5, or $10 a month. Every single dollar I receive goes directly back into the podcast so I can continue to create even better content for you guys. And no donation is necessary to listen. The podcast is available for 100% free on every streaming service, including Spotify, Apple, Amazon, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, Anchor, CastBox, literally anywhere that you listen to your podcasts. The Metal From The Inside podcast is available for 100% free, so no donation is necessary to listen. I just like to have the option there for those who are interested. If you'd like to stay up to date with Metal From The Inside, Inside. You can find us at www.metalfromtheinside.com. We are also on Instagram at Metal From The Inside, on Twitter at MFTIOfficial, and we are also on Facebook. And lastly, you can go ahead and subscribe to Metal From The Inside's YouTube channel. Just go to YouTube, type Metal From The Inside in the search bar, and we should be the first channel that comes up. Every single interview that you hear the audio of here, you will be able to actually watch on our YouTube channel. So if you would like to actually visually see my conversation with Jeff Tate, you can go ahead and subscribe to the YouTube channel, and all of my past interviews are available on the YouTube channel as well. So go ahead and subscribe. If you'd like to stay up to date with me, Cindy Taylor, in real time, you can follow me on Twitter at @STaylorOfficial and on Instagram at @CindyAnnaTaylor. You can also go to Metal From The Inside's website, click on the contact tab, and every single contact received through that form will go to me directly. So if you'd ever like to chat about hard rock, heavy metal, anything in between, be sure to reach out to me on my social media or through that contact sheet. And especially if you have an idea for a guest or an idea, like I mentioned, for my Patreon early in the introduction, just be sure to send me an email, send me a message. I get back to everybody and I would absolutely love to hear all of your ideas. I want to make the podcast as wonderful as possible and to cater to what you guys would like to hear. So be sure to let me know and I will get back to you all as soon as possible. But once again, thank you guys so much for taking the time to listen to the podcast and of course subscribe. We are at over 900 subscribers on the YouTube channel, which is incredible. In January, we had 30. So it's skyrocketed. I am just so blown away by the reception and the feedback so far just in 2021. And of course, for the entirety of the over the year I've been doing this. So I really, really appreciate it. Thank you guys so much for listening to episode 35, my interview with Jeff Tate. There is a lot more in the works and we will be back here 1 week from today for another episode of the Metal From The Inside podcast. Stay safe, take care of yourselves, and I will see you 1 week from today. Rock on.